You don't prepare in a battle, you prepare for the battle. You don't play away your preparation. It's a season. It will not always be there. You know, I've said this to people. If you rush out when you are not prepared, your generation will not forget you. They will note you and not forget that you are a mediocre. Any soldier that gets to the battlefield then start learning how to shoot a gun is a dead soldier. You are not in the ministry to compete, you are in the ministry of war. If you want to compete at all, the only person you should compete against is yourself.
Pastor Femi Lazarus has been commissioned to go raise God's end time army. Sit back and be blessed as a gold soldier of Christ.
I commend you to God's grace. You do this well. In the name of Jesus.
Not just the mayor that brings relevance in the kingdom. After the mayor, there must be a pushing that brings into the experience. And a man can have dreams, daughters can be filled up, things can be said about you, prophetic word can be declared over you. But if there is not a bringing forth, then it's just going to remain inside paper. So this morning, we are privileged to have a man in the house whose God has commissioned to raise God's end-time army. And can we, with a standing ovation, bring the man of God to bless us this morning? We are so, so glad to have you, Pastor. God bless you, sir. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Amen. Can we lift our hands and give God praise? Let's give God praise from the depth of our heart. Give him worship, give him honor, bless him. Give God praise, bless him from the depth of your heart. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Mantikili istofana mantik, koshente roko fatishto. Can we have people on the mic? So we lift our hands to say,
oh, ye.
From the rising of the sun, you are meant to say, lift your hands, say mighty things to him. Lift your hands to him. All right, bless him from the depth of your heart. Lift your voice to him. Father, we are set for an encounter this morning. We ask that you show up
in ways no one else can. Thank you, blessed Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Say that amen loud and clear.
Amen.
Say that amen with authority.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
And before you sit down, please help me celebrate your pastor, Dr. Damilola Labi. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you for the honor and the privilege to stand before God's people. May God bless and reward you in Jesus' name. Please help me celebrate him again. It's better. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have celebrated, Pastor. Say that amen loud and clear. Please, can you just reduce a bit? Now, as much as one of the hallmarks of our meetings is very strong presence, but I'm so inclined, well taught enough to understand that we must leave a generation with more than a feeling. That is, if the Lord walks through a land, there must be testament of what the Lord came to do, true or not true. And that's why I get quite disappointed when meetings are organized and there is so much moves of the Spirit, but yet the generation has not trapped anything down in terms of the communications of the Lord. Each time the Lord visits his people, he visits them with a word. Amen. So we do not have meetings that brings the experience of the kingdom without the revelation of what the kingdom is. So the experience is not total, it is not complete until the word has been revealed to us. Is that very clear? All right. So, but I want to tell you something. That in every meeting, the Lord shows up to do more than what is being said. So there are different kinds of people. Do every man sit down listening? But there are people who listen more than other people. There are people who are desperate. Scripture says that he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall have the prophet reward. Meaning that if you don't have discernment as to who and what you are receiving, it is possible that in being there, you are there. You walk through the waters, but yet not wet. So I want to encourage you. It is possible that a man will go to two different places with same grace, but yet different results, depending on the heart posture of the people. Is that clear? The strength, the effect of a meeting is not majorly predicated on the minister of God. It also depends on the heart posture of the people that are seated. And that's why those who carry heavy grace barely benefit those who are their immediate family members. Because where familiarity steps in, grace stops flowing. There is something about the anointing that does not flow in the direction of dishonor. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? Am I speaking to people this morning? So I sense strongly the Lord will have me talk more about positioning. Is that okay? So that will be positioned. Words will be released this morning. Can I hear a big amen to that?
Amen.
The Lord will be giving us prophetic push this morning. Can I hear a big amen to that?
Amen.
How many of you are set for God's word? You are set for what the Lord will do. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to him and tell him, Father, speak to my heart. Release your word to me. Release your word. Release your word. Speak to my heart. Kia na madia yenia ta, lia na.
Nama kukuviana tikigia teliataye. Liga nama tikigia nama tikigiene. Zuzibidia taladiane. Zumikia nama ene kikigia lade. Zuzikigia nama iye. Zunama tikigia nadie iye. Iya nama nana kianata. Yenene kiata. Luna makiki giana he. Zumbi giata lani ake ye. Iana maya ya 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 ya. You will never find love that there is anybody else loving you more than me. You will never find love that there is anybody else loving you more than me. May it not be held that there is anybody else loving you more than me. You will never find love that there is anybody else loving you more than me. May it not be held that there is anybody else loving you more than me. Kashana makiate shate. I am your battle axe,
your weapon of war. I am your battle axe, your weapon of war.
I am your battle axe,
your weapon of war.
Kalati
kalamashi. I am your battle axe, your weapon of war.
Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.
Amen.
Sit down. Thank you, Jesus. Mantikra Kishto. Genesis chapter number 2 from verse 4. Genesis chapter number 2 from verse 4. So, the theme of this meeting is Quantum Leap, and we'll get there. Genesis chapter number 2 from verse 4, okay, it's projected, so I read from here. This is the history of the heavens and the earth. If you are a good student of scriptures, you will discover that in Genesis 1, for instance, Genesis 1:1, the Bible said, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now in Genesis 2 verse 4, scripture says, this is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to
and there was no man to till the ground. Because the scriptures we are going to major into, in that book of Ezekiel, talks about measurement and bringing men into deeper waters. Am I right? Am I right? So, but the Bible said God himself will withhold rain. God himself will not allow access to certain possibilities until there are men. The Lord had not caused it to rain upon the head, for there was no man to till the ground. I think we need to break this down so we can have clear understanding, so we can know what we are talking about. Let's project Psalms 110 from verse 1. Psalms 110. Psalms 110. Are we quick with that? From verse 1. All right, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Verse 2. Okay. The Lord shall send the rod of his strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. 3, quickly. Can we read verse 3 together loud and clear? 1, 2, 3, go. Can we read it again loud and clear? 1, 2, 3, go. Amen. Please. I want to beg you. This morning, I want to share certain things with you. If you are not somebody who loves God unrepentantly, you will not be able to handle what I want to share. So what I want to share is very strong. It will break many things away from you. Please pay attention. How many of you have ever separated yourself to pray? God will want your power. I want your move. I want your revival. Let me see your answer. Good. But scripture says that thy people shall be willing in the days of your power. Meaning that when there is the move of God, when the water falls, when the rain pours, when the land is wet, something follows. Willingness. Every man suddenly wants to hear God. People desire that which the Lord has to say. There is willingness everywhere. Revival. Revival is not totally a good news. And I think that's the part we have not heard. That we are asking God for revival. We are saying, let there be a move. Until men are built to stature, revival is a bad news. It is better that God will not allow the rain fall on the account of the fact that men are not ready. Whenever the rain falls and men are not ready, it destroys the men. My heart is indeed heavy. And I look at the level of hunger for more of God that exists in this generation. Somehow we are prayed more than we are prepared. And there is something about the rain. You can pull the hand of God for a release. But that is not a proof that God wants to really release at that time. A man can bet a revival around a vicinity ahead of God's plan on the account of his hunger and the outcry that will not stop. But according to Genesis 2 verse 4, It is better we stay with that pattern. Lord, don't release the rain until we are ready. You see, whenever manifestation goes before configuration, the man's folly will be seen by his generation. It is important that God will take time, sit on men. Revival in itself is not totally, don't forget what I'm saying. You might not have heard this version. That the Lord is moving is not totally a good news yet. Where are the men that will sponsor the feeding of a generation that is now willing? If all of a sudden, please pay attention. If all of a sudden something happens to you, the Lord uses you to raise someone from the dead. Suddenly. It happens by the operation of God's power. Power was released upon your life, and all of a sudden you raise someone from the dead. Do you know you may never survive the next stage of ministry if you are not totally dead to yourself? Sometimes we cry to God to use us to perform certain miracles, and God will not allow that dimension flow. Not on the account that you are not anointed, but because he wants to preserve a man. There are dimensions that will flow through you, and from that day onward, you will never be submitted to receive more. So God will take his time, not just to give you gifts. Do you get what I'm saying now? It is not the intention of God just to walk through you. He wants to walk with you. So if the walk through you will kill the walk with you, God would rather not walk with you. The Lord himself did not cause rain to fall, for there was no man. Whenever the Bible talks about scarcity of men, it's not talking about absence of people. It's talking about scarcity of people who have been prepared for the work. Every rain comes with increase. To every increase, must have structure for preservation. Let me say it again. Every rain, Isaiah 55 verse 10. Isaiah chapter number 55 verse 10. Let's see what the Bible said about the rain and the dew quickly. Isaiah 55 verse 10. Project that scripture. Now look at it. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So rain brings both seed and bread. Rain brings increase. Rain makes everything bring forth bud. It makes everything green. It makes everything flourish. But this is not a good news. Don't forget the vision of Pharaoh that Joseph came to interpret in Egypt. He saw years of abundance, then followed by years of famine. But he taught them about the structure of what? Preservation. The reason why revival may not be a good news is that when people become hungry and God does not have men in the land who have been soaked in the word to sponsor what that generation will feed on, they will begin to eat hay and stubbles. You know, God told me when I rounded up my university education for 2 years of my life, I was working. He said, so you have worked enough. Stop now. 2 years. The only thing the Lord will have me do, every day I will dress. I have my briefcase, I carry it, my Bible, my jotter inside, and books. And I will go and lock myself up in a room. I have a prayer room in an orphanage home that I'm one of their patrons. Lock myself up there from morning 8 o'clock till 6 p.m. in the night, sometimes 8 p.m. Just studying. Let me say this to you. You might be a prayer warrior and yet not relevant for your generation. Each time God is revealed to a man, is revealed by the word. It beats my imagination and pains me seriously that there are men who can pray, but yet have nothing to offer the generation in terms of God's agenda through the word. What will outlive you is not the dimensions of strength and power you moved. It is the word that God bettered to you. This generation is waiting for more than a word. This generation is hungry for the revelation of God through scriptures. And until men are furnished, let me say this to you, please. You might be a man who is blessed with the miraculous and you have access to do mighty things. But I understand that your flow in the miraculous can, you know, block the understanding of the people away from the knowledge of the fact that you are not grounded in the word. Man can try to use the miraculous to cover up for his inadequacy, his proficiency in scriptures. You cannot use the miraculous to cover up for what is it called now? Sufficiency, adequate supply of God's word. In 2 Timothy 2 verse 15, scripture says, you study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly, we have to emphasize, rightly dividing the word. The generation is not just hungry for the move. The generation needs the word. So until the Holy Ghost can find men that he will sit on, you cannot use access to messages to replace study of the word. When you listen to so many tapes and fail to study, the best you can be is an echo, not a voice. You begin to echo out what God is saying through some men, but you yourself have no template. It is a dangerous thing to appear before your generation with just a prayer life, but no template for the move of God. It's a dangerous thing. I am not trying to banish praise. I'm not distorting prayer. But I'm telling you that you can be a man of prayer, and yet you have no access to what God indeed is around to do. Can you look at scriptures and tell, according to God's prophetic timing, we are talking about the Kairos, not the Kronos. According to the season that we are now, what is God doing now in this generation according to scriptures? It takes the ability to sit on the word, to see it. So the people shall be willing. When there is rain, everyone is agitated. They are hungry for the move of God. But when that time comes, those that will be relevant are those that have access to green pastures. Let me say this to you. That a man is relevant in 2019 is not a proof that in the next 20 years he's still relevant. Relevance is not a one-time thing. Relevance is staying consistently with what God is doing part-time as you move across generations. The day you break out from what God is doing, excuse me, sir, your generation will search for you. They will not see you. It is a dangerous thing to appear before the people God has sent you to empty-handed. Access to God's mind, the ability to sit under. Let's project Psalms 23. We call it popular scriptures. But it's not amazing that the scriptures that are popular are the ones we know nothing about. Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. 2. Now, can we read verse 2 together? 1, 2, 3, go. Say it again. Now, you can see that all the scriptures have been showing you there is something consistent. Waters. Are you noticing that? Please pay attention. He maketh me to lie down inside the green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. These are two different positions. When it comes to the word, he makes me to be inside. When it comes to the spirit, beside. I will explain why. Please pay attention. He makes me, meaning that the ability to sit with the word comes with a compelling force. Ordinarily, no man wants to sit with the word. So the Holy Ghost himself makes, that is, the word make there. The word make there, here in this scripture, is the same word used for make in Psalms 100 verse 1. The Bible says that make a joyful noise. The word make there is the word bara, that means to do something new. Now, to do something that we have not seen the kind before. So when the Bible said that he makes me to lie down, that is, I have not been configured to that level of lying down, but the Holy Ghost compels me not just to chew the green pastures, but to enter. Let me say this to you. Okay, to buttress that, project John chapter number 6, verse 63. John 6, verse 63. John 6, verse 63. Okay. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Are you there? If you're there, say amen. John 6, verse 63. Oh, yeah. Can we read it together? 1, 2, 3, go. Read it again.
It's the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life.
Please pay attention. I'm trying to bring something, but I'm careful. You know, I don't just teach for the sake of teaching. Any generation that produces a man that teach to sound deep, that generation has found a man who will not participate in God's move. Because the move of God is not authentic to the degree that it is deep. It is authentic to the degree that it is understood. Because in the parable of the sower, scripture says that the seed that fell on the wayside be like them that heareth for the word, but understandeth it not, then cometh the devil. So, when they say that some teachers are teaching and leading men to hell, they are not necessarily saying that they themselves are from the pit of hell, but we are saying that when you are a teacher that brings men into the word, but not to the place of understanding, you make them vulnerable to deceptive spirit, demons. Is that clear? If you look at the book of 1 Timothy chapter number 4 from verse 1, scripture said something about what I just said now. 1 Timothy 4 verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the later times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirit and doctrine of devils. Let me say this to you. I have never seen men who have strong prayer life and don't study the word. I've never seen such men successfully bet a generation. Sir, you can pray for a revival. You can pray for an encounter and enter into the greatest trouble of your life. Please come. Let me give you someone as an example. Please come. Thank you. I used to know a young prophet in Lagos around the year 2011. He was very young. He was in school in desperate pursuit of God. What did I say? desperate pursuit of God. He started scratching dimensions and different things. I want to beg you in the name that is above all names. The fact that you are hungry for God is not a proof that you must listen to everybody. Let me say this again, and I say this with all humility. The fact that you are hungry for God is not a proof that you must listen to everybody. Particularly if you are a man that God is considering as a major leader in his agenda. The day you see your mindset talks about mind placement. The direction, the configuration of your mind can hinder you from participation in God's move. So it matters what you allow to be fixed in your mind. Don't forget, the devil did not yet speak that he wants to dethrone God. It was a mindset. So a man may not be in sin before he falls out of God's agenda. He may start with a mindset. The mindset that I love the body of Christ and I listen to everybody is a demonic one. It is not possible. You must be a selective feeder. That is, in the light of what God is doing in your life, having studied God's word, who are the men who are staying consistently with the pattern? It may look like it, but you must discern if it is what the Lord is saying. The fact that something looks like the original is not a proof that it is the original. There are many men that sounds like it. You see, error is 99% truth, 1% lie. And that 1% comes at a major junction that corrupts everything. So there are men, I was talking about a young man, he had so much hunger and passion for God. He started breaking into dimensions. Your hunger should not lead you to dimension first, it should lead to scripture first. He started scratching for dimensions. I have said this over and over again. The takeover generation does not request for anointing. No, sir. Elisha never requested for Elijah's anointing. He has double portion of your spirit. Meaning that there is something I have seen about your life that has helped you to sustain this glow with God. I want the same thing. But unfortunately, he didn't still carry it. So you may abuse the fathers and say they know nothing, and yet when they are gone, you have not done up to a quarter of what the Lord did with them. Because when it is God, it is not about sophistication, it's about death. Started scratching dimensions and then suddenly came up with different forms of funny doctrines. At first, he said the Lord told him, he said he had a vision and he saw Jesus. He saw who? Jesus. And Jesus told him that whenever he wants to anoint men, he should anoint them with his saliva. And then he said Jesus gave him a scripture. And that's when he found the man whose eyes was not formed. And then he spat to the clay and molded saliva and the clay and then formed his eyes. Now, Jesus there was demonstrating to them that he is the one that created all things. Now, listen. When it comes to doctrinal balance, it is in the mouth of two or three witnesses that the truth shall be established. The devil himself makes false religion out of one scripture. One scripture. He received that scripture and then started doing many things. He would take people into the bush. He said the Lord told him to get palm, coconut water and anoint men with it. No, sir. No, sir. When hunger meets error, the situation is unfortunate. And there are many men, please sit down. God bless you. Who are seriously hungry. Influence in the kingdom is not a function of who is deeper. It is a function of who God can trust. Influence is not a function. Let me say it again. It is not every man that God allows access to the anointing and he allows access to people. Influence is a sacred trust that God can make your name ring in the heart of a generation. And sometimes, not because you are that perfect, but because he has been able to help you achieve something in your heart. He has achieved something. These are major secrets. Before a man is announced in the spirit realm, different councils sit down together and endorses him. There is an endorsement that must happen before any man is allowed access. It is possible to gather a church of 5,000 people, but yet God denies you access without influence. When Jesus finished fasting 40 days, Matthew chapter number 4, Synoptic Gospel, Luke chapter number 4 also, the Bible said as he left the wilderness, his fame was noised abroad. What that means is that everyone that saw Jesus knew there was something about him. They couldn't tell who told them it was annoying. But there was something that had been achieved. Because, listen. The destination is not from the waters to manifestation. No, sir. The destination is from the waters to the wilderness. After you have concluded that you are now anointed, God will not suddenly release you. He will need to now test and prove you before he releases you. Let me show you from the scriptures. Project the book of Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Let's start from verse 2.
Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred,
let your love increase. Lord, make us instruments.
Thank you, Lord.
Of your peace. Once in pride and preached, I shall cease. When we are your instruments of peace.
Hallelujah. Can I hear a big amen?
Amen.
Say that amen loud and clear.
Amen.
How many of you want to learn? We've not started. Hello.
Hi.
I've not gotten to where I'm going. We've not started. I'm just laying a foundation. So when we get there, you will know we've gotten there. But pay attention. Jesus himself, the Son of God, the man that scriptures describe that God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and power and he went about doing good. But look at something that was consistent with God's leading. He went to the wilderness. Am I right? He was led by who to the wilderness? Huh? By who? The Holy Ghost. Meaning that when you are in ministry and you are going through persecution, it is not the devil that is in charge. I have seen men who have never passed through fire. They don't last. What makes you a champion is not the ability to punch the devil, but have you been built enough to withstand his punch? There are men who punch the devil for 10 years. He gave them just one. They never recovered. And the devil is an ancient fighter. He won't punch you in a place that is not your weak spot. Men who last are not men who knows how to dodge his punch, but those who know how to recover. The ability to recover. The righteous falls one and rises seven times. It takes brokenness and humility to rise. It takes carelessness to fall. Please pay attention. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. The idea for wilderness experience was 40 days. True or not true? Yes. But on the account of a generation's unrepentant murmuring, 40 days became 40 years. But the Bible said God was still in charge. All the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to do what? To humble you. Meaning that a man who has not been through wilderness experience knows nothing about humility. And I need to tell you something about humility. Humility is the antidote you receive as a result of armor. As a result of piercing that makes you immune to everything the devil can bring. Let me give you an instance. Please come, man of God. If this man here, let me use two people. My pastor, please come. Thank you. Please stand. And this man, this is a man. Please come to this side. Please watch. This man is still learning, trying to learn more about God, grow and all those things. But this is a man who knows deep things about God. He knows the ways of the Spirit. God forbid, we suddenly heard that this man fell into the sin of fornication. And the pastor said, you are falling. Scripture says in 1 Timothy 5:20, that they that sin rebuke before all, that others also might fear. If God had successfully broken this man and is humble, despite the fact that he doesn't know much, if this man cannot successfully teach you how to be chaste, but on the account of what God has done in his life, the ability to accept the discipline will teach you how to be humble. Meaning that if you discipline a man that is humble, it will teach you how to recover. There is nothing the devil can totally do because he will always accept the correction that comes with it. He will always bounce back. Humble people bounce back. They always will. It takes a man who knows nothing about humility to be corrected and walk out. God can be achieving moves in your life. If there is no death, you will not recover from one punch of the devil. Meanwhile, here is another man. What he did was not even fornication. He so built, trained, taught of the Lord that he will not even fall into sin of fornication. But one thing about him is that you cannot correct him. He comes to the church and lead prayer one way, and the pastor will come and say, the way you led that prayer, it is not consistent with the pattern of this church. And they will tell the pastor, when did you start teaching me? We are both students together, so you cannot instruct me. You can't tell me what to do. You get what I'm saying? On the account of this small thing, though he's not a man who is given to those ways, but pride makes a man come under a shade that God himself deliberately resists him. Pride reminds God of the reason why the world is what it is today. Nothing gives God trauma like pride. So the Bible said God resists the proud. However anointed a man that is walking in pride is, God will always resist him, and he gives grace to this one. And that's why you wonder in the move of God. Men who are not looking like it emerges. I have seen a great evil upon the land. Princes trekking and servants upon horses. Because servants are positioned for lifting. Is somebody getting what I'm saying here? Are you getting what I'm saying here? Until a man walks through wilderness, you claim to be ready for what the Lord will do. Do you know the assault that comes with representing God at a large stage? Can you deal with criticism, insult, disdain that comes with it? If you are a man who wants to rebuke everyone that insults you, you are not ready for serious business. You get to a point, men will say things, and you look at them, you are dead to it.
Somebody calls you a big fool. Yes. God used the foolishness of this world to confound the wise. If I was not foolish, God would not pick me. Out that not many wise were called. Not many nobles were called. The qualification is not your ability to be impeccable. The qualification is dead. In 2 Corinthians 4 verse 1, scripture says, that seeing therefore that we have this ministry, having received what? Mercy. So mercy brought me here. My ability cannot keep me. Somebody get what I'm saying here? Now, we are still dealing with a scripture. Please sit down. God bless you. Now, thank you. Be seated. Go back. Thank you. It led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you. He says somebody seated here under a leader you don't love. The ones you love cannot really bring you up. You want to be cooked, you need fire. Somebody is asking, God, break me down. Break me, break me. I want to be humble. The answer to that prayer is that God will give you somebody who is very proud. And it will make the person your roommate. And that fellow will always be the acid test of the degree to which you are dead. Just when you think you are now humble, the fellow will wake up one morning and say, who of the sleepers here? You must be a big fool. And he said, now I need to tell you, I need to give you a piece of my mind. That mind is not yet the mind of Christ. Somebody is asking, God, I don't want to be angry anymore. Please take anger away from my heart. The answer to that prayer is that God will supply you with an angry man. A very serious one. The one that will look at you and say, can you just get out of my sight? I want to see television. And you wonder. And you wonder. And this is why if you really want to last, your esteem must be intact. I wish we have all the deal. You know, the devil's major strategy is intimidation. He looks at what God is doing in your life and tells you, do you think you are qualified? Do you think you are good enough? So if your esteem is not even intact, you fall. And what do you do? It's called discouragement. What is discouragement? The ability to drop your shield of faith and be exposed to attack. And then you start saying, well, I know there is nothing about my life in the first place. Was that not what happened to Elijah? Just after he had called down fire and caused a major revival, just a woman said, I will cut your head off. What will it take to ask God to incapacitate the woman? And he said, already something was locking in his heart. What am I better than my forefathers? What is the difference between us? Let me just die. That Elijah was taken to heaven was not the will of God. He called for death. The Lord led thee this 40 years to humble you, to prove you. He will enter into your heart to know what is in your heart. To know your perspective to money.
Oh boy. I cannot share all stories. I remember I was in school. Very broke. I had, I think, some granite oil left. Two Maggi, I can't forget that. Call those Maggi Royco. Two. Some grain of salt. You know, salt is the last thing to finish in the room of every student. If salt now finishes after everything is gone, then you are broke. And the lady came to me and told me how that she wants God to change the situation of her family and all those things. I should pray for her. So I prayed for her. The Lord led me to give her an instruction. I gave her. 3 days later, she came back with a testimony. And what's testimony? Father got a contract. And then gave her 200,000 naira just to keep. So just hold this money. It's yours. Do anything you want to do with it. And she was so excited. I, the pastor that prayed for her, was very broke. So she brought an envelope containing the money. And then give me the money. I said, Pastor, this is a seed. I paid my tithe, but this seed is yours. I touched the envelope. You know, if you're a pastor, you can know what is inside an envelope by touching it. because you interact with it very well. I knew the money here wasn't small. As I collected the money, the Lord spoke. I said, son, take that money to church. It belongs to my house. I will bless you later. The painful thing was that I had to trek under that hot sun to the church. I had to trek and drop the money inside the basket as anonymous and trek back home. 2 days later, the same lady was given 600,000 naira again. Paid her tithe, said, pastor, this is amazing. Brought another seed, a much bigger seed this time around. As I collected the money, Lord, I'm not prepared to hear you this time around. But if you are truly a son, at that point, you already know what the Lord is saying. Sometimes the Lord just look at something in your life. You know that thing has to die. And I knew, even though I am prepared not to hear, I know that the Lord is saying, let this go. That Gehazi went to collect things from Ammon was not that it was wrong. But Elisha said, is this the time? Listen, is this the time? There is a time not to gather. If you are a man that God is raising, there is a time he will not allow you gather. Because your confidence should be in him, not in what you are gathering. This is how God trains sons. There is a time that God will request that you do something, not because he needs it, but because he's building a man. There are moments God will ask you to pray, not because any danger is coming. Not because you will die if you don't pray, but because a day is coming that your failure to pray will cost you your life. God requesting Isaac from Abraham was a wilderness experience. And listen, go back. Deuteronomy chapter number 8, go to verse 3 now. Now look at this. And he humbled thee, meaning that your wilderness experience ends when your humility is achieved. Is this thing too serious? Is this too... Okay. Meaning that you can't run out of that church until you are broken. You cannot. How do you want to appear before your generation? Half baked or completely baked? You can choose. The school of the spirit is always designed with an open door. Any man can exit at any time. You'll be manifested the way you are. But your level of configuration is what determines how well you will last. So a man can graduate himself. You can. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed you with manna. Meaning that in the school of the spirit, God will not give you what you are familiar with. The meaning of manna is what is this? When I finished my service, I applied at Futa Health Center. I served in Akure. So, I got a job. So I was excited. You know that moment of your life that you said, God, I've served you. I've given you my university life. Now it's time for me to enjoy myself. I have siblings. I have things. And one day I got back to the family house. And my president said, Pastor Femi, I perceive that God will have us pray so we can have adequate and accurate instruction for the next phase. When he said that, I knew God's pattern for my life. I knew I was in trouble. I murmured and I said, okay, sir, let's pray. I was the state prayer court. I said, all right, let's pray. As I went on my knees, the Lord said to me, son, you will go back to the city of Ile-Ife to finish the work that I've called you to do. God, just when I'm thinking that I'm now free. So I went back to Ife for the assignment. And I will have to wait on God. I'm talking about practical waiting. You going on your knees to ask God to bring somebody that will give you 5 naira for pure water. Because if you are a man given to speed, you will not be fast. Listen, listen. The moment you are a man given to the ability to compare yourself with people, the highest you can become is a big fool. They compare themselves with themselves and they became fools. The children of Israel that were in Babylon, Daniel and his friends said, give us vegetable, pulse, and water. And after 10 days, let there be a check-in. Meaning that you cannot compare between you and your friends in terms of who is ahead until the appointed time. If you try to compare yourself early, you will be confused. You will be discouraged and you will chicken out of God's plan for your life. He said, he humbled thee and suffered you. So it is not every suffering that is brought by the devil. Suffered you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you know not. Neither did your fathers know. Meaning that your parents will begin to complain. We have sent you to school. We don't understand what you are doing. My father told me in 2012. So son, you are rounding up now. Come and apply for UK visa. You need to leave this country. So come and apply. Start the processing. I finished my service. Said, I do not understand what you are picking in that land of Ile-Ife. It's time for you to leave this country. If I leave the country and go to UK to start a ministry, won't the people say, Pastor is doing fine? Have we not become so shallow that our conclusion of who is doing fine is what they have in terms of material things? Not knowing when those men have wandered out of God's plan. And we conclude that a pastor who is on point is one who comes with 17 jeeps. Even when the man is already years out of God's plan. So even your fathers will not know anything about this. That it might make you, the word make again, making. It might make you know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God does man live. Meaning that the sum total of all the wahala you have been going through in your life is to come to a knowledge we survive only by the word. The sum total of all the experiences, the bad ones of the wilderness, is to make you know that man does not live by bread only. So that when the temptation comes to turn stone to bread, you say we don't live by bread alone. Because a time is coming, your generation will look like bread before you, but you don't eat them. Is somebody following the progression we are building here? Is somebody really following? Now, back to where we are going. When I get to where I'm going in teaching, it doesn't take me time. I'm a time stickler. I just need to know how many minutes I have left. The Lord showed me a vision a while ago. I think last week or 2 weeks ago, I was ministering in a church, a youth meeting. And I saw youth lined up. There were men expecting God's move, lined up like men of war, just at the bank of a river, a sea, precisely. Can I have, please come, my two brothers, three, come. Yes, come. You two, come. Sir, come. I want to give you an illustration of what the Lord showed me. Now, they stood and locked their arms like this. Lock your arms like this. And they formed a long chain. Very long chain. And they were waiting for the move of God. From that vision that the Lord showed me, what they were really waiting for is that a time will come, the evening tide will come, and the water will arise in its current and swallow them up completely. That is what the Lord wanted to achieve. But before the water came, wind came. And the wind came with power. It was a move of the Spirit. And when the wind came, many began to fall. The power was much. They were jumping, filled with strength. And some began to break the locks. And then stepped out and started jumping. We have received the power. We have it now. But the intention was that the waters will cover them completely. The ones who jumped out just with the wind, they were operating for a while. A time came, they were confronted with the strategy of the devil they could not understand. They did not wait for the level of configuration to withstand such assault from the pit of hell. But these ones were still waiting. And while these ones were operating in power, they began to insult these ones. For how long will you wait? Look at us. We are the ones shining. We are the ones doing mighty things. But you see, in Isaiah chapter number 40, turn your Bibles there from verse 30. Isaiah 40 from verse 30. Quickly. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. 31. But they, somebody said, but they. Let's read this scripture together after the count of three. 1, 2, 3, go. Wait upon the Lord. If we want to use the word shall renew their strength, in another word, we shall say that they that wait upon the Lord shall be strong. Alright? Meaning that if you read Daniel chapter number 11, verse 32, project Daniel 11, 32. Do you know that song? Lift your hands as you sing it.
How sorry, Kyo Sirewa.
How sorry, Kyo Sirewa.
Sing that song.
I want to do the Lua.
How to Afarawa Sheo.
How fear go kepiti.
How
sare kio sirewa.
How me a reki omuwa.
But as such that do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong, and they shall do exploit. The generation of them that wait, the waters has been measured to the ankle. It is not yet a yardstick to run. Another 1,000 cubits measured to the knees. It is not yet a guarantee that you will survive. Another measurement to the waist. Not yet a release to run. Wait till the waters swallows you completely. God never manifests any man suddenly. We must go back to the drawing board. You're standing here. You're trusting God for a major move. Something major in your life. Something, not a joke. Am I talking to people who are waiting for the move of God? Not a joke. Something major. I want you to ask him, how many minutes more do I have? Okay. Ask him for the ability to wait and not be in a hurry. It can come as a grace. Ask him. Hayanamanti kalabatiatosha. Strength waiting power.
Alio, alio, ali, alio, oh, ali, alio, 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 ali, alio, oh. E pimpa mio leo, o vende mio, e fumi lo mio. E pimpa mio leo, o vende mio, e fun mi lo mi o
kala da biate ro kishete mi anaman tikan roko fatisha. You notice something is happening to your prayer life. The place of waiting is already suffering. It's time to cry out.
E bim pa mio, mio leyo, o bembe mio, e fumi lo mio, iana makonte kigiliata vayalesha, ligana maka kigiele vakae, iana makonvo kigialaya. O bembe mi o, e fun mi lo mi o.
Kala da batia tish. Liana manti kalabayesha.
Nina yesu ne, bezen koma. Bezen koma baya ba. Nina Yesu ne bezen kuma baya ba nasa hanuna akenke kenuma bezen kuma baya ba. Let the weight of your glory cover us. Let the light of your river flow. Let the truth of your kingdom reign in us. Let the weight of your glory fall. Let the weight of your glory cover us. Let the light of your river flow. Let the truth of your kingdom reign in us. Let the way of your glory fall.
Kala diata valadesha. Mine me kumbruko valika bayatesha. Rokovali Andesha. Revival of the secret place. Revival of the secret place. Take me back to the school of the spirit. I don't want to graduate in a hurry.
Adaborun sokale ko wa gbe wa wo rojo ibukure le wa ni ori le yi pa de wa ro je ka ri o ki a to lo mu mi wo yara agbara lo jesu mu mi wo yara agbara lo wa mu awo yara agbara lo jesu mu awo yara agbara lo kala tiga bayate bruku valakate sha mi anamante kom bruku valate kashita Jesus, sit on my life, sit on me. You provide the fire, I provide the sacrifice, you provide the spirit, I will open up inside, you provide the fire. I provide the sacrifice. You provide the spirit, Lord. I will open up inside. Fill me up, Lord. Fill me up, Lord. Fill me up, Lord. Fill me, Lord. Till I overflow, I want to run over. I want to run over. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Be seated. Please, men of God, you can sit down. God bless you. The question here is, why is the Lord taking so much time to prepare men that will matter in his agenda? As good as the water is, don't forget that when there was a time for a separation between the soldiers of Gideon, the last test was the water test. We have lost so many soldiers on this road. We have lost so many men that it would have been better for them not to have been used than for them to have been used the way they were used. And the enemy thought the strength of their manifestation was the same strength of their secret place. We have lost men to different things. My heart cry in this race is not the accolades and the sounds of praises that I hear right and left.
My concern is, in the next 40 years, in the next 50 years, in the next 60 years, will I still be running? And I say this to you, I can remember countless brothers that I wish, I speak as a man, I wish God did not use them. At least they would have still been humble. They would still be in the race. I used to have a young man that was brought to me because he had epilepsy. And in our ministry, God has given us 100% result to healing and those kind of sicknesses. There was a time I used to share testimonies of people that were healed, but it is not my emphasis in ministry. Because you must understand what God wants you to emphasize on. Pastor W.F. Kumuyi has healing dimension more than many healing evangelists, but that's not his emphasis in ministry. On the strength of your walk with God, many dimensions will be made available, but they are not your emphasis. You can be distracted and begin to swim in that water. You are pegged there. It's a very long walk. It calls for wisdom. So, I prayed for him. When it was time to pray for him, the Lord told me to clean, just use your hand to clean the right part of his head. And that I did. And the moment I did that, he fell under the anointing and began to shake. And the spirit left. So he moved in and started staying with me. And we were attending the same church. It was around the season in my life that I was transferred from a church where I was the leader to serve under in a much smaller church. So he went with me. So he was made a minister also, as I was a minister. And it was somebody who is a son to me in ministry that was his own mentor, but he was staying with me. So I noticed that he began to misbehave and I couldn't correct him. And he would tell me that we both are ministers in this church, so you can't just talk to me like that. You are a minister, I'm a minister. Not too long after I began to say that, the epilepsy returned with full force. He started going out for evangelism in the market. And Pastor Henry, please come. Can you pour me out a drink from the car, just a juice? Can we have a glass cup? He started market evangelism. He will go to the market to preach. The market women and everyone will give him fish, tomatoes, and pepper. It's the evangelist coming to preach. He said, no. Men who want to last don't eat anyhow. You cannot continue to collect these things. You are beginning to see market evangelism as an avenue for you to collect things. This is not the time for you to do all those things. So he got angry. Always go there and collect fish, collect tomatoes. Started misbehaving. The sickness grew worse. And one of those days, he came up with words, said the Lord told him. Anyways, he had set his mind, those who could instruct him are now colleagues with him. You know, your colleagues can't do you good. You cannot be mentored by a colleague. And that was how he wandered out of ministry. I have another story. When we started campus fellowship, while I was in part one, already I shared a story of a young lady that used to come to my house. And the Holy Ghost arrested at one of those visitations. I think I shared it. You can check up one of my write-ups online. And she confessed how she had destroyed the lives of her pastor, blocked the womb of her stepmother, and killed some people with witchcraft operation. One of those days, we went for evangelism. And one of the brothers, we started the fellowship together, insisted that he wanted to go and evangelize the lady. And when he left, I warned him, let ladies evangelize ladies. You follow me and evangelize guys. And he said, the Lord laid in his heart that he must win this soul. Let ladies evangelize ladies. You follow me. He insisted. I said, all right, go. He left. A few weeks later, we noticed that we were no longer seeing him in fellowship. He was nowhere to be found. Send men to him. He was giving excuses. Finally, I went to his house. I knocked the door of his house. He opened the door. He came out with boxers, no shirt. I was looking inside the room behind him. The same girl was on the bed around past 10 at night. I said, Pastor, we have not seen you in fellowship. He said, I've been busy. I've been very busy. I said, all right, I can see that girl inside. Is that part of evangelism? So he closed the door and came out. He said, the way you've been talking to me, I don't like it. This, that. The lady has accommodation issue and then he's helping. That's all he's doing. Just giving her help. I said, wow. I will call Sister so-and-so now. She will provide accommodation for this girl with feeding till she's ready to get an apartment. He said, you've been following me about when it comes to helping this girl. Why are you just all around me? He said, don't shout. He said, sir, you will choose today between this fellowship and this same girl you want to evangelize. And that was how he broke into anger. Scripture says we should bear fruit and the fruit should abide. If because of this one soul, anybody can talk to me anyhow, I'd rather follow and win her. That was the one soul that took him away from ministry till date. Can go on and on and share stories of men who almost got there. Why is God doing what he's doing? 2 Corinthians 10:4.
All of me. We believe on you. You will look your consorio, be I. And you love.
For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow, the destruction of strongholds. Don't go yet. So we are familiar with King James. For the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. For what? To the pulling down of strongholds. What is a stronghold? This is what many men who brought revival didn't succeed in pulling down. A stronghold is the structure the enemy has built in your own life that gives them easy access to bring down the counsel of God part time. A stronghold is not in the camp of the enemy. A stronghold is in your own camp. For instance, you might want to write. Let me give you an example. I like making it simple so you can understand. Many people who are crying about things they want God to do in their lives, many of them can look at their life and say, even for this one thing, I will have emerged. There might be people seated here today with that level of honesty. You look at your life, everything is going well. But even for this one sin, even when it looks like you are strong against the counsel of the devil, when it brings this one sin, you are defenseless. It means that one sin has become entry point through which the enemy can always penetrate and attack. Anytime we talk about generational battles that men fight, if one battle can go beyond a generation, it means there is a culture of character, a culture of practice that sponsors it. No battle goes beyond a generation without being attached to a sinful heart. For instance, anywhere you see poverty as its peak, you will always see sexual sins. One of the things sexual sin does is that once it creeps to the life of a man, the man cannot think straight. He is distracted only to focus on it. He will not mind relationships. Those that God will bring into his life that should be a blessing to his life, he will see nothing else in them apart from their body. Instead of having allies, he will have more enemies. Those he has injured who are waiting to bring him down. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. God is building something in you. It is not a carnal thing. They are mighty if operated through God to first deal with you. A man that has victory over himself is more than a man that takes a city. Meaning that the easiest way to win is to conquer yourself. And you ask yourself a question. Have I been conquered? If you are a student of church history, you read about great men who had brought revival at different magnitude, different points. And I'm not going to mention names to spite them. Men like A.A. Allen had healing dimension in ways the generation had not seen. But there was something that was not really dealt with, and that was victory over alcohol. You can grow tall and not grow deep. You still won't last. The idea is that you bear root downwards and shoot upwards. But root first. Root first. Let's go to verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I once thought on casting down imaginations. You see, that word you read there is a very serious word. You pull down strongholds. But imagination, you cast it. To cast is to throw away, but down. Let me give you an instance. You need to know what the imaginations of the devil is towards you. Somebody asks me, what is the devil trying to do? What's his thought towards me? I know. And that's why I can't be foolish. The devil wants to embarrass me. He wants to disgrace me. He wants to bring, if I give him 1 minute, he wants to tear me. I was walking in my estate one night, prayer walk. And I got to a junction. I don't know if he was with me that night. And the Lord opened my eyes and I saw a demonic presence. And he was saying, just leave me, let me tear you. Hey! But we cast down imaginations. We know his thoughts. You look at your life, you know the imagination of the devil is to bring you down to a woman. You don't play with a woman. You know his imagination is to bring you down through money. It is not your friend. If your weakness is money and you are an usher in church counting money, it is not the devil tempting you. You are the one tempting yourself. If your weakness is a woman and you are in the room counseling the woman alone, the devil is not your tempter. You are the one bringing temptation to your door. God told Cain, sin lies at your door, but you must master it. You must know the imaginations of the devil. Know how. Imagination is well crafted. It is graphical. You can see how he wants to do it. Do you toy with it? Cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself. Sorry? Imaginations, yeah. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. High things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God is something very practical. It means several Abrahams will be willing to drop their Isaac. It is not, it is exalting itself against the knowledge of God. Sometimes God will have you walk out of a relationship, not because the relationship is bad, but because the fellow is now your God. And as long as your Isaac exists in your heart as your God, the promise will still not come through that Isaac. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Every item that exalts itself in your life against the knowledge of God, cast them down. You know, the devil is a thief. Scripture says that he cometh not but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. The stealing ministry of the devil, all right, we could have time and talk about the threefold ministry of the devil, how he destroys, how he kills, and how he steals. Each of them will call for time more than a year to exhaust. But I can tell you that when the devil wants to steal, he doesn't collect. The devil never collects anything from anybody. The devil never hijacks anything from anybody. Whenever the devil wants to steal, he only gives you what will make you drop what he wants to take. Huh? He gives you something. Then you drop something more important. He gave Adam and Eve apple. Something. To some, particularly if you are a man, that you carry a very heavy destiny, but you don't know it yet. He will always supply you with the kind of relationships that will bring you into sin. So that even if you get there, you get there with injuries you will not recover from. Hey, the devil wants to break your teeth. He wants to rubbish you. Okay. So if you don't know how much you are hated, do you think everybody loves you? You were born in a family of love. Yeah. Everybody should love me. Oh, you are not ice cream. It is not every Joseph that gets to the palace. You, yourself, recognize the weight of God's call upon your life. You. Don't wait for any confirmation. You yourself, recognize it. It will matter in the way you carry yourself. There are many of you who had entered into different forms of alliances. Because you don't know who you are. Not because God is not mighty towards you. You just don't know. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Ephesians 6:10. Ephesians chapter number 6 verse 10. We were in the meeting where I ministered yesterday night. Let me see your hands up. You were in that meeting? Okay. Because when you see me taking time to teach like this, you may wonder, these ones don't even have the power dimension. I don't know what your definition of power is. We will open the door in just brief minutes. The Lord will anoint you afresh. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. 11. 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Dear soldier, put on the entire armor. The helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the shoe of the gospel, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. The sum total of the entire armor is love. Now summarize it. Simply put on The proof that you have successfully cooperated with God to build you is that you walk in love. And that is a deep thing. Because we don't know what love is. For men who fell out of God's move, it was love that was not adequate. If I truly love God, it doesn't matter if my pride is hot. I will come down and say, I thought something, it was not correct. Please forgive me. It is not about me looking right as a teacher. It is about the counsel of God being established. If I walk powerfully in love, the next soldier, because listen, spiritual warfare is not really against the devil first, but warfare against fellow Christians who think they're on the Lord's side fighting you. And that's why I said it is a deep reality. That as you grow in Christ, trying to emerge, majority of those the devil will use to attack you are those who are also in Christ. The major battle will be coming from them. Because listen, project for us Ephesians chapter number 4 verse 14. If you can help me get the Message translation.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you, Lord.
I want to see you.
Open the eyes of my heart.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart.
Can you project Message translation or amplified?
To see you highly lifted up, shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing holy, 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 holy. I want to see you.
So then we may no longer be children tossed like ships, to and fro between chance and gusts of teaching, and wavering with every changing wind of doctrine, the prey of the cunning and cleverness of unscrupulous men, gamblers engaged in every shifting from trickery in inventing errors to mislead. Let me break this down. The Message translation says that we henceforth be no longer children, running to and fro in the woods. Children who are easy marks for the impostor. Meaning that if the devil wants to attack a major move, he brings Christians who are conservative, not understanding what the Lord is saying then, to fight it, and they will fight it with scriptures. Men like this, Pastor here, the way, men who are, you know, you call them giants. If it is those outside that will arise and say they are false teachers, it won't matter because they already are not in Christ and they cannot understand the wisdom of God. But it is those who are in Christ who think they know, they add knowledge without love, then they fight the move. Across times as you grow in stature with God, majority of those that will give you headache are those who are also seated with you in Christ, far above principalities. But they will think they are fighting on the side of the Lord. They are not aware they are fighting against the Lord. You check those who insult and abuse the move of God and preachers. All the time, it is the church fighting against herself. The proof that you understand this battle is that you are able to sit down. You are not on the side of any wind. You stay consistent with the scripture. And you communicate the wisdom of God, not in sarcasm. Sarcasm cannot banish error. You communicate the truth in love. So while communicating, you don't bring injury that will bring another error. It is a deep reality that only men who are mature in love can sustain the true stature. Christ is Christ because he's perfect in love. Love is the proof that your ego is dead. Love is the proof that you are totally submitted to the authority of God. Love is not a feeling. No, sir. Love is the result of being crucified with Christ. And the Lord is building a man. Meaning that, I feel like taking us back. I have just a few minutes to go. There was a time in the body of Christ in Nigeria that men like Pastor Chris Oyakhilome were standing alone teaching about new creation realities. Who a new man is, who you are in Christ. Majority of those who fought that reality then was also the church. And you look at men like that. Why? Because we enter into this light at different timing. When you are yet to enter, if you see anybody saying anything, the first thing to ask God, is this light for an appointed season? Is this your light? And you engage scriptures and find out what the counsel of God is. But I notice one of the reasons why this man is so dear to my heart is that despite the harsh criticism that came against him, he's still able to stand relevant in his own class today because he managed everything in love. Let me tell you something. In the book of Matthew chapter number 16, Peter caught the revelation that Jesus is the Son of God. True or not true? Yes. In that same book of Matthew chapter number 16, Peter stood in the shoe of the devil to tell him you will not die. We don't hang your conviction on the words of men. You won't last. The Lord is fortifying you, building you. A time is coming. You will stand to preach. Those who are offending you will be amongst the crowd. God will check your heart. Will you fight them with the word? Because many of us have made the pulpit a fighting ground where we attack those we have issues against. And God is seeing a man who needs to still be built. If not, it will destroy people. The anointing of God upon your life does not give you impunity. It doesn't mean you can talk men down anyhow. Though people are walking in error, but you cannot attack them with the word. You teach the word and let the word address the situation in love. The word is not an instrument of injury. It is for healing. And we see reasons why many had experienced the move of God, but yet they are still not partaking in the move. Show me a man who walks in love and humility. I will show you a man that God will do anything with. If there's any prayer you pray now, God, walk on my heart. I am too much alive to myself. Do something to my heart. Do something. Touch it. Break it. Do something. Do something. Someone raised the prayer point some times ago. He said, God, break my heart and bend my knees. Give me the heart of flesh. Do something to me that will make me always want to represent you and not my agenda. Do something to me. Touch my heart. Fan me aflame with love. Touch my heart. Thank you, blessed Father. Lift up your hands where you're seated. Rise to your feet. Rise to your feet. Listen. I was ministering somewhere, and a lady came to me and said, "Pastor, I want you to pray for me so I can carry the burden that you carry." So I told her, I said, "You don't know what you are asking for, because you don't know the kind of burden that I have." I said, "Pastor, I'm willing and I'm ready to carry it." Prayed for her briefly. She laid on the floor. 3 days, she was just weeping. Because if we are not partakers of the same cup, we cannot walk in the same light of glory. When the burden is high, you will surrender to any dealing. But when the burden is small, you'll be filled with your own ways. So, I want to pray for you for two things. One, there will be supply of strength and grace to wait in the secret place. Then there will be a release of burden that will come with the power of the Lord. Is that okay? How many of you want the Lord to do that for you? So, at this point, it's going to be quite heavy, but I'm going to pray simply because I know many of you still have to go about today's work. It's going to be very heavy upon you. Stretch your hands like one who is receiving. Both the ushers and everyone, stretch your hands. All that matters is that you carry something tangible. Am I right? Something you will never recover from. First and foremost, all eyes closed. There are men here that the Lord is calling to the work of ministry. And they need power, fresh oil for the work. So stretch your hands well. Something is going to run around this place. I ask that the Lord will place mantles on the hands of such men all over this auditorium. So I will count 1 to 5. And wherever they are, there will be a resting and it will be very heavy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Rest. All over. Stay where you are. Something is already running from your head all over. All over from my right hand side to the left. Men called but in need of fire for the assignment. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost run through this place. Separate men. Separate men with that mark. Let it run like precious oil from your head. Let it break out like waters from your inside. From out of your belly shall flow rivers. There's an enlistment going on. Usher, stay where you are. Stay where you are. There are enlistments going on all over this place. Soak them. Soak them. Soak them in the pool of your weight. Soak them. Kanti kraladiate shente rakiatashe. Lienemente shubra akelish dovati. For the deep calleth unto the deep. So there is a calling, there is a calling, there is a calling, there is a calling. There is a lady to my right hand side. There is a breaking loose on you as I speak. There is a breaking loose, there is a breaking. It's gushing, it's gushing. There's a breaking loose. Out of your belly flows rivers. 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 For the spirit and the bride says, come. So there's a calling forth into the weight of that which the Lord has prepared. I hear the voice, prepare. Fill your horn with oil. Fill your horn with oil. And let the oil run over. Let the trench be filled. Let a trench be filled. Let men arise with power and authority to declare the counsel. Join your hands together. Something heavy is here, but I want us to maximize what the Lord is doing. When Peter was speaking with the man at the gate called Beautiful, he said to them, silver and gold we have none, but such as I have, give I thee. Joshua, the servant of God, was filled with the spirit of wisdom. But for Moses, the servant of God had laid his hands upon him. So lift your hands. As you are joining those hands together, lift them up. So I ask that across this place, all eyes closed, there is a searchlight going on, and there is a transference of same grace, same burden, same grace. All over from my right hand side to the left, touch, 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 touch. There is a flow across the hands. As we are joining them together, already it started. Angels are ministering all over this place. Touch them. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. The ten of them, touch now. Touch them. Ten. There are ten people. Touch. Across this place. Ten of them. Touch. 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 Let the weight sit from your head to your toe. Let the waters gushing out. 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 Separate them. Kato subratikasha. Leonamanti shubrekevelishta. Touch them. Bring them out. Bring them out. Bring them out. Bring them out.
Oluwa joko lori oke aye orun. Agbara nla lewo bi aso.
Bring them out.
Olorun wa to fi mole sase bora. Olorun ninu imole orun o. Nibi imole aye aye wa.
There are three people on this roll. Lift your hands if you're on this roll, all of you here. Those three men, those three people, one, two, three, rest now. As I speak, rest. There is a major communication going on upon your life. Touch them. Three of you, touch them. Locate them. Let there be such light. Go across this place, search, 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 search. That's it. Search, 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 search. Father, sit on them as I speak. Sit on these three. Sit on them uniquely. Uniquely, uniquely, uniquely. Break loose uniquely. Search them out uniquely. Hold him. Hold him. Uniquely. Search. Search. There are two more. Two more. Angelic searching. That's the weight. It is heavy. Let the weight sit on these three people as I speak. Bring them out. The weight from your head to your toe. Search them. Mansubreke velishta kabaladesha. Leonamante kigala brokosha. Bring him out. But be careful, the hand of God is heavy on him. Sumbra haki shumbledishta. So there are nine people here, remaining one. All of you, lift your hands wherever you are standing. Wherever that one fellow is, Father, walk across this place with your wave. Search, 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 search. That one fellow, as I speak now, the hand of God fall on you. Touch! Touch him! Let there be a resting. Help him, bring him out. I hear the Lord say there is more. And I'm making ready. There are many of you whose access to certain gifts have been dormant for a while. There is access. There is access. Prophecies. Breaking loose prophecies. Realities. Realities. Breaking loose. There is access. Access. Fresh access. Fresh access. The healing anointing is available. The healing anointing, the miraculous. There is somebody here, God is baptizing you in his presence. And everywhere you get to, the presence breaks loose. Wherever that fellow is, let the hand come on him. It's a baptism into his presence. There is a lady apostle. Where is she? Lord, search her out. 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 Touch her now. Wherever that lady is, there's a breaking loose. Breaking loose. Apostolic supplies. Various impartations, Lord. Zugratista. I hear the word fresh fire, fresh oil. Fresh fire, fresh oil. Fresh fire, fresh oil. No more cold altars. No more cold altars. Let the fire flow. Let the resting be fresh. Let there be a move of fire. Fire. Across this place. Let the fire.
All over the world, your spirit is moving. All over the world, as the prophet said it should be. All
over the world. There's a mighty revelation of the glory of the Lord. As the waters cover the sea.
Now lift your hands as I round up everybody. Don't join them together, just you alone.
Emimi money woba. Emimi money o. Iwo lo gbe wa de ara oke. Emimi money o.
There are people here with the upper room experience. The upper room experience. So, as I speak, let it start. Let the effect not leave days after this meeting. Let it be fresh all over. Let the baptism into the experience start now. Now, across this place, the upper room reality. You're brought into a reality, a real walk with the Spirit. Upper room realities. There's a baptism, so it is soaking. It is soaking. It is soaking. Pastor? Father, I ask that you please anoint your son more and more for this work. Please come. That posture that you have brought men into that makes them receive from you without stress. Access, Lord. Give him access from now onward. Let his weight in the spirit realm increase. Help him in the name of Jesus. So there is communication of grace. It will always be fresh in the name of Jesus. You enter into a new altitude. So shall it be. Jesus' name.
Let's begin to bless the name of the Lord for what has happened this morning. And can we thank him for the release of grace? Can we bless him for the word that has come to us? Can we thank him for the corrections? Can we thank you for everything that he has done? Can we raise up our voice up to heaven and bless him? Bless him for his words, for the doctrine, for everything that he has done this morning. Can we bless him?
True transformation is evident for doers and not just hearers of the word. Be a doer of these words of transformation.
To reach us, send an email to femilazarus326@gmail.com. Stay blessed.